Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart. You're listening to a Radio X production put together by the skills and talents of producer Vin.
I actually outsource it.
Do you?
It's not actually me that does it.
I thought that was quite a nice little new way of introducing
you. Yeah, I appreciate it. But I obviously had to just cut it down, didn't I, straight away?
Yeah, what you've done again is just shot me down in flames.
Yes, absolutely.
You found your regular role in life doing that to me.
Well practiced.
Thank you very much. What a podcast, though. Noel Gallagher interview, Vin. We went to see him in Watford at the Coliseum, and it was great having you around when we were having a blether and all the rest of it. I like the way you chipped in with some brilliant football knowledge when necessary. It's always required.
Thank you, man. It was good fun, that. Yeah, good gig, and we've got it was a long chat. We were given 10 minutes and it went on for a bit more than 10 minutes, so we've got the whole chat in the podcast.
Fantastic stuff. And we did a classic album with an old theme as well, What's the Story, Morning Glory, as our classic album chat this week, with a little bit extra from Noel on that subject as well.
Yeah, totally.
Nice to hear his view of it. It's funny, he took a big breath first anyway. That's one again, isn't it? Anyway, John Richardson, the brilliant comedian, he's never off the telly, he came in this week as well. What a brilliant guest, a lovely man, and offered us some insight on some fellow Radio X presenters. Finn.
Yes, it's always fun to get that.
It's always great giving John Robbins a little dig in the ribs, isn't it? Enjoy, listen, all of that, plus a bit more fun and games on the Evening Show podcast.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
My name is Gordon Smart and I am here at the Watford Coliseum for a very special night on the Evening Show at Radio X. I will be catching up with Noel Gallagher himself in just a little while. I'm standing side of stage right now while he does his sound check. It's going to be a bit of an Oasis theme tonight as well, because I will have a classic album. It is Monday night after all, and tonight we'll have a little listen back to What's the Story, Morning Glory. And while we're here in the corridor next to Noel on stage right now, why don't we just have a little listen to what's going on? Check this out. There we go. That's the first song in the sound check. You just caught the end of that. The only place you can hear that tonight is on Radio X. And it sounds like Holy Mountain's just being sound checked right now.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm standing in a corridor as Noel Gallagher does his sound check. And next to me right now is a man called Phil Smith. If you're familiar with Oasis' albums, you will see his name appearing in the sleeve notes. He is a master tea maker. But more importantly, he is the DJ that gets everybody warmed up before the shows. It's been quite a tour so far. It sounds like it's going brilliantly. 10 people now in the band.
Yes. Yeah. 11, including 11. The brass. Yeah, it's 11.
It's 11.
There's actually more on the band bus than there is on the crew bus at some point.
Right.
Which is a first.
Yeah. And what's that? Has that changed the dynamics slightly, having an army like that on tour with you?
Well, it has, yeah, because three of the new ones are all girls, you know, so there's a feminine touch now, do you know what I mean?
And a bit of French as well, Phil.
Yes, we've never been walking down the corridor during a gig and heard people talking French before, because obviously they don't do every song, so they're in the dressing room talking French, which is a very strange occurrence.
Well, Phil, listen, it's great to see you. Congratulations on the Manchester City season, and good luck tonight as well.
All right, cheers. Yeah, but apparently it's all about Mo Salah, because he just broke the 3-year-old scoring record, and so it's all about him, not us and our 50 records we've broke.
50 points at home, 50 points away.
Yeah, but it's not as good as scoring 32 goals as it finishing fourth. That's the main thing.
Phil Smith, nice one. Great to see you, Chief. Always brilliant to see you, man.
Cheers, man.
Right, here we go. Got Noel on stage right now. Sound checking. You can hear him. Here we are. It's a beautiful world.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, joined by Noel Gallagher, the little menace from Little Venice.
All right.
That's Matt Morgan, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I've got to pay him 50 quid for that. Now, Noel, the sun's shining, the tour's flying, we're in the Watford Coliseum, and Manchester City are Centurions. Life's pretty good, isn't it?
Life is pretty good, yeah. Life is good. Yeah. It was good on yesterday. And, yes, but I'll be going great. Starting to catch up with me now a little bit, though. I'm feeling a little bit knackered today. I think 4 months now on the road is starting. We're getting into that bit now where it's just like, okay, I need a bit of time off now.
Yeah. How is it measured up, this tour? Because, you know, you've got 11 people on the road with you now.
Mm.
And the dynamic's different, isn't it?
Well, it's great. I got to say, vibe-wise, it's the best tour I've ever been on. The last two tours I've done with my group, which was with the U2 thing and this, have been just a privilege to be on. Everybody's great. It's really, I mean, I can't overstate that enough. Mm-hmm. The vibe is just amazing. And the gigs have been great. I mean, I don't really read reviews. So there was quite a disturbing review that everybody insisted that I read in The Guardian, and it was disturbing because it was good, which is kind of like, which makes me want to retire, really. But apart from that, well, I don't really read the reviews, but apparently it's been going down pretty well anyway, and we've loved it.
Can we talk about the French instant this car?
Exhausting, mate, to be honest, right? If I had my time again, you know, the French is... Well, they've not been on strike once on this tour, which is unusual for when you get a couple of French people. But the girls are great. YC is... she's a lovely girl and a great singer, and she's very exotic looking, and she adds a bit of something to it,
yeah,
that we didn't otherwise have. And the other fella, Charlotte, is she's all right.
It's Charlotte's high flying birds, isn't it?
To think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
She does behave like the Queen of Sheba at most points, but she's far out, man.
Tell you what, watching the soundtrack and listening to the soundcheck beforehand, you can really hear the influence she has on the music, though. You know, you can really pick it up. You know, you can feel her.
She's got no influence on
me. But you can actually pick it up, because there's a lot of talk about can you really notice the percussion, but she really does play her part in it, doesn't she?
Yeah, she gets stuck in, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. She was only on board to do like one song, and then, but she's kind of she's kind of made herself indispensable at the minute, which is what I love about her. But she's great. She's great fun to be with. She's like I say, she's far, she's like no one else I've ever met. But she's far out, man.
Tell me a little bit about this venue as well, the Watford Coliseum, because it's got a little bit of history for you as well.
I think Oasis played here.
Can you remember when?
Well, I'm going to say 16 years ago, and I know that because some guy asked me to sign his ticket,
right?
Which was, I got this 16 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, 16 years ago, which doesn't seem that long, actually. It's a funny old gaff, Watford, isn't it?
It is, but it's got a great history, this place.
Has it really? I don't know.
Do you know the Star Wars soundtrack was recorded in here in the 70s?
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I did not.
So all of that with John Williams was done in here. But the acoustics are amazing in here.
I'll be on stage with my own little bubble, so I don't know. But yeah. We had a good night when Oasis played here.
Somebody told me that you have never missed a soundtrack in your entire career. Is that correct?
No, I've never missed... Only when a couple of times I've had to pull gigs, and then, no, there's no excuse for not sound checking. You owe it to the people who've bought tickets, I think, to at least give it a go. But I like sound checking.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch. You did a lot, about seven songs there, something like that.
We do songs we don't do in the set. Right. Like some of those songs that we played there, we won't do in the set tonight. And, we just tried to change it up a bit. I'm actually thinking whether we should play those songs tonight or not. I might drop that on the band in a minute, see what they say. But yeah, I do like sound checking. I used to really love sound checking when we was in Oasis. That was just because we would have some long kind of freeform jamming, man, which used to be good. But this is great. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the pre-gig ritual like for the high flying birds as opposed to Oasis?
Mine now is what? So it's five. Now I would be eating. I would be eating in catering, and then, depending on if I have a tour bus or not. If I have a tour bus, after that, I'd probably go on the tour bus and listen to the radio, maybe, or put the telly on. Mm-hmm. Today, we're just going to sit here and eat pizza, I think. I start to get in the mood about an hour before. I've got a little acoustic guitar in a room, and I pretend to warm up. I don't usually do much warming up. Warming up usually means having a drink and noodling around an acoustic guitar for a bit.
Best tour story so far, then, Nona? Every time I see you when you come back from tour, there's always one to share. What's safe for our ears today?
Vincent Kompany turning up with all the Man City backroom staff was pretty good in Manchester, and him saying to Manny, if you don't remember who Manny is, it's understandable because nobody remembers who he is, saying to Manny that it was never too late for him to change back to being a Blue because it's where he came from in the first place.
Oh, brilliant.
Other than that, there's got to be some stuff went down in America, but I can't tell you because it involves friends, so I can't tell you.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've got one of our most recognisable comedians in this country with me tonight. 8 of 10 cats, all sorts of panel shows. He's the panel show king. He's a radio host as well, 12 years in the spotlight now. He's done all sorts of things, including the lofty heights of guest presenting The One Show, I think, 4 or 5 times. He also loves a cardigan, Leeds United, and worrying. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Richardson is here. Hello, John.
Hello there. How are you? That was good. That was comprehensive,
I think we covered most things, didn't we?
Yeah, I liked recognisable was good.
Yes.
Because it's the voice. I can pretty much go about where I want and nobody notices.
Really?
But the minute I ask for something in a shop, people turn. Oh, that's that. That's that noise. That's that guy from that thing.
I'm going to have to ask a favour of you, John, very early on.
Yes.
You're back with a brilliant new show on Dave. I watched the first episode last night, Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
You're a big warrior. But before we get into it, can you please just sing the theme tune for me?
Oh, yeah. You're playing it next, right?
We are. We're going to play it. It is going to be in my head forever now, though.
Yeah, maybe it's your quite version happy, of it. Isn't it? It's quite chirpy.
Yeah, well, you get that chirpy sort of opening theme tune, then you come on and just fill me full of dread and worry and fear.
Yeah.
Because that's what the show's about, really. It's about you cataloguing and indexing your big worries, really.
Yes, embracing worry is a positive thing to help you deal with life's problems. So, yeah, we discuss them in depth. We have an expert come in every now and again so that there's actual facts. And and then there's comedians there as well, so it's funny. Yeah.
So the first episode, you've got a man formerly of this parish, Josh Widdicombe.
Yes.
What's it like when you have a panel show like that with your friends? Does it make it easier or slightly more difficult?
Oh, it's far easier. Right. Yeah. It feels like cheating. It feels like, well, this is just what we do anyway. We're just sat around talking and you're abusing me for your own enjoyment.
Yeah.
It just happens there's cameras there and 100 other people laughing.
Another man of Radio X Parish is John Robbins.
Oh,
now,
well.
Can you just tell us some stuff about John Robbins? Because he's on a Saturday afternoon here with Ellis James. And there was, I remember an anecdote about toenail clippings maybe in a cup.
Yes, into a coffee mug in his bedroom, and he has amongst the most disgusting toenails I've ever seen, John Robbins.
Yeah.
They're really long. They're like, you could play the guitar with John Robbins' feet if you needed to.
The bass guitar.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, thick, heavy things they are. You could hear him, like bullet wounds in the wall when he cut his toenails. You had to pick them out.
Oh man, what a vision. John, on the show, you embrace technology. This must be a thing with Dave, right? Because they've either, on Taskmaster for instance, they've always got an iPad on the go.
Yeah.
Alex Horn's always got the iPad. On this show, you've got what I would describe as a Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville, sort of Monday night sort of touchscreen telly.
Maybe Jamie Redknapp, Gary Neville.
Right, sorry about that.
Let's take Carragher out of there, shall we?
I could have gone for David Batty to make it lead related.
I have a temper, but I keep it. I keep the windows up.
How did you get, like they did at Sky, did you get to take it home with you and have a little play with it so you're comfortable as they film you with a touchscreen carry-on?
No, they wouldn't let me take it home, but what they did allow me to do is cling film my television and they gave me some wipeable markers. So, you know, I kept the experience going at home.
It's quite a big budget.
It was fantastic.
It's an expensive kit,
really,
isn't it?
Good, yeah. It took me a while to get used to the touchscreen, but I'm ready for Sky Sports whenever they want me. I'm ready to go in there and analyse. At the moment, I'm just doing dishwashers.
Yeah.
So one of the episodes is like 10 minutes, literally just of some guy who's filmed the inside of a dishwasher so that you can see what goes on in there.
That was on the first episode.
Yeah, it's just sensational telly, isn't it?
I'm
just
right with you, though. I get really angry with my wife about the way the dishwasher is loaded without sounding a bit 1970s about it. You're right.
I'm doing it on tour now, mate, so there's nothing 1970s about it. This stereotype of comedy is living long into the 2010s.
So you index your worries. What is the one that you'd like to share with us on Radio X, the biggest fear in John Richardson's life?
At the moment, it's whether I'll ever get... Because I have to say the theme tune has moved out of my head to the show and been replaced by The Wiggles. I don't know if you play a lot of The Wiggles on Radio X.
I have children. I know about The Wiggles. Yeah.
So I assume we played California on occasion earlier. I assume next is Toot Toot Chugga Chugga Big Red Car.
We can do that for you if you want to.
I think that would be right. I think it's only fair that people without children have to suffer the way I do.
Oh dear, we've reached that stage of life, John, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's just that, it's this Mr. Tumble ruining my life.
Well, I've tried to. She's already been to Tumble Live, so Tumble's. I can't stand other men who have talent. My daughter's already 18 months, and she already knows that there are men far better than her daddy who can dance and play music. He's got an orchestra with him on tour, Mr. Tumble. Yeah. I tour with two cardigans. That's about as rock and roll as my tour gets.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, John, we ask all the artists that come in, all the comedians, all the musicians about their worst ever gig. Have you got a painful moment you can share with us that will give some inspiration to up-and-coming stand-ups?
Do you know the gigs I hate the most? I like a horrible gig because you sort of can't lose. You know, you turn up at a venue and they say like, oh, so-and-so's died here and, oh, that person had an awful gig. I think, well, that's fine. The gigs I hate are when they say, oh, this is such a lovely gig, everyone has such a good time. And I think, oh, I'm going to be the first one. And this story's going to become, oh, I'll tell you who died here, actually. Only one person's ever died.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been quite lucky, I guess, with gigs because I mean, the worst gig I ever had was I used to do corporate gigs when I was sort of... trying to get a deposit together for my house, I took gigs that I shouldn't have. And I did one for the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors.
That's a tough room.
It was, I was sort of on a balcony peering over. I genuinely felt like they were just having a good time, and I started shouting at them from about, there wasn't a light on me or anything. I literally just started shouting at them. I followed a meat raffle. I told them at the end of the gig that I was going to go upstairs and do myself some harm, and they cheered and applauded the concept of me hurting myself in a hotel room. And it was such a bad gig, the guy who ran it said, look, go upstairs, get yourself whatever you like on room service. And it was in a swanky place in like West London.
Yeah.
They said, look, I'm really sorry, you know, these gigs go that way. Go and get yourself whatever you like from room service, and that's on us. So I had like a bottle of champagne and like 3-course meal. And then the next morning they billed me for it. And I checked out of the hotel. And all the
250 quid
people who'd been there were behind me, and I couldn't say, oh, they said they were going to pay for it because I died so badly. So I had to pay. So I barely even made any money because spent it all on food.
That's great.
I just drove to be humiliated, eat a meal I didn't really want, and then drive home.
It does make me want to ask you about the worst heckle, though, because Jimmy Carr always tells a great story about the Edinburgh Festival, and it's probably not his story, as always the case with Jimmy Carr, but it was one about two lads, two brothers in a room, and he's doing a gig, and halfway through his material, one of them said to the other one, there used to be a pool table in here. And he said, "It just crushed them." Have you been cut off at the knees with a horrible heckle?
I heard one like that I sort of overheard. I did a show that did not go very well, and there was no dressing room, so I sort of swan off stage as if I'm going into like a room with Ed Sheeran and a lot of champagne. I literally just go behind the curtain and wait for the audience to leave, so you can hear them filing out in silence.
No.
And I just heard a woman say, "Well, it's good that he remembers it all."
Oh.
And it was the most damning. At least he remembers the words. There was just no laughs in there. The best heckle I got was at a gig in Trowbridge. The most British heckle. I was describing one of the worst days I'd ever had in my life. And said, well, I hope that doesn't happen again. And someone just went, it will. And it'll be raining. It was the most British.
Yeah.
Oh, it's get worse, mate. It's going to get worse than that.
Two parts to it as well.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't come back from that.
Well, we'll share more pain with John Richards in a second. You okay to stick around a little bit longer?
If it's pain, I'll stick around as long as you want.
That is a relief.
That's what I do.
Oh, we're good at that. We're good at that. More from John Richards in just a second.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
There has been plenty of reaction to Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, Arctic Monkeys' 6th album. I've got to lay my cards on the table here. I absolutely love it. No question about it. I genuinely think it's intelligent, it's composed, there's a real sense of progression. Alex Turner, in my opinion, is a poet. He's written an album. It really made me sit down and pay attention. I had to listen to it 5 or 6 times, and every time wasn't distracted by anything and really paid attention. That just doesn't happen these days. Some people haven't been convinced. A lot is being said about Matt Helders being underused on the album and how it sounds more like an Alex solo project. There is no arguing that it's a change of direction, but I'll argue there is nothing wrong with that. So, Arctics have gone from this... ...to this...
It's all getting gentrified. I put a tackle around the roof. It was well with you. 4 stars out of 5.
It's all slowed right down, hasn't it? Did it got something to do with Alex Turner living in LA? Is it about the company he's keeping? Is it about the music he's listening to? What is the reason for it? If you are in any doubt about the latest Monkees album, you can hear Alex Turner explain it for himself tonight. John Kennedy on Exposure from 10 o'clock. You can hear it from the man himself. Now, Alex has known John for years, and he'll be emptying his head with John about the story behind Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Talking of bands changing direction and finding a new sound, Alex is in great company. Let me present some evidence. So that's The Cure. Friday I'm in Love. Chirpy, upbeat Friday music, isn't it? Really smiley, upbeat. To this. There's a minor key, isn't there? Just a lot more brooding. Very gothic, very dark. Robert Smith turning a corner in his life. Things change. But there's more evidence. Let me tell you a little bit about Depeche Mode as well. They started off really upbeat too. Doesn't sound more chipper than that, does it? But Depeche Mode also went on a very long and pretty dark journey as well. They went from that to this. Jesus. trying to tell you is people's lives change. A lot happens. People are growing old. Remember, Alex Turner has grown up from an 18-year-old boy into a man in his early 30s. Now, let me give you a little bit more evidence. Primal Scream. Now, there's a band who have changed a lot over the years. Ivy. Early Primal Scream. A lot of blues. Bobby Gillespie was a different man at this point. It's like something from Middle America, isn't it? To this, psychedelia, Primal Scream style, out of Glasgow, inspired by Acid House and Andy Weatherall. What a brilliant, brilliant song, but it just goes to show how much Bobby Gillespie changed and how the band developed from blues rock, Middle America, to amazing, amazing psychedelia.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, Noel, tonight in Manchester, Manchester City are celebrating with an open-top bus. Did you not get the invitation for that one?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Can't.
What have you seen?
You know, I might have pulled a sickie here, but couldn't do it. Yeah, I've missed most of it this season, actually. Yeah. I've seen quite a few games, but I've missed the big ones. But it's been mind-blowing. I don't really think anybody will be able to really understand what's gone on this year for a long time yet. I mean, on Sunday when Jesus scored the goal, I celebrated that more than when we did when we won the league. Yeah. It was just such an amazing thing. And you know, for Pep to have pulled it off the way he did is incredible. He's like a small boy. He's like, because he celebrates like a fan. But the funny thing about some footballers is when you see them, they don't really want to talk about football. They're not really interested. Pep, on the other hand, will talk to you about it. You know, about what he thinks is going to happen and what. You know, and he's like amazing. And he's been in dressing rooms with us and some of the. Other people in the band are unfortunately Liverpool supporters, and he's a dude, man. He's a proper dude.
There's a massive interest in the World Cup this year with all the City players. So you've got De Bruyne, Jesus, Aguero, Sterling. How will you decide your loyalties?
I think I'm gonna put a Belgium flag over the Matthew McConaughey life-size cardboard cutout that we've got in the front room window
and the bedroom.
No, we've got actually two of the big red balloons from Wembley in the bedroom at the minute. I think I'm going to go for Belgium, but as you know well, our in-house bookie over there is will tell you exactly who's going to win, who's going to score the winner, what size f***ing shoes he's wearing, what his date of birth is, and he'll get about 650,000 to one. He'll put 50 pence on and end up buying a f***ing house in the Seychelles somewhere.
You've helped me out a lot over the years, helped lower-income families with some incredible generosity, but the ultimate thing you get every 4 years is an invitation from Adidas to the World Cup final.
Yeah, can't go this year, though.
No,
we're working. We're working. I don't know whether we're working on the day of the final, but we're working. But yeah, my friends at Adidas always tip it up for the final, which is good. It's good for me anyway.
Have you not just said that you're taking the tickets and somebody might just turn up and pick them up?
No, I'm not doing that. No. If I'm not going, no one's going. No.
Could you ever be persuaded to do a World Cup song?
No.
Right, just never a no, new did, order, world emotion. For the Belgians?
I've got a couple of things knocking about that could be turned into Man City songs, but I'm not really... I don't really like international football.
Yeah.
You know, if Ireland were to get there or Scotland, I'd support them. Or I'd, but I don't really, not really an England fan. Although I do hope they do well, but I don't really take much notice of it until it gets to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it'll be a good one this time. I really fancy Belgium.
Prediction: Belgium.
I fancy Belgium. Yeah.
No. Arctic Monkeys got a new album out. The premise of the album is a retirement home for rock stars on the moon.
Mm.
You fancy it? Would you go there?
To the
Alex
moon.
Turner's Rockstar Hotel on the Moon.
No.
What do you make of the album?
Do you know what? I've just been listening to it in the car today on the way here.
Because remember everyone said when your album came out, the latest album, it was really experimental, a bit different, you know, off the beaten track from what you might expect from Noel. I mean, it's not really what you would expect from Arctic Monkeys.
No, you'd expect a few choruses.
Right.
There isn't any of them.
No, on the show we do a classic album chat every Monday night. We do What's the Story, Morning Glory.
How is it?
Could you just cast your mind again? Back? Yeah, 23 years and sum that up for us. Just
wow.
What was the first thing that comes to mind when you think
Well, it took 12 days to record, 12 working days. And really, what that album is a bunch of demos that were made into a record because the sessions ended in a huge row about weight of cardboard or something. I don't know. Who knows? But you know, it's a funny thing because what that album became, I certainly wasn't thinking of when I was writing that album it was going to be huge, and I don't think we were thinking while we were recording it what it was going to become. It's just another record. It's just our second record. We didn't really pay it any other mind than that. When I wrote Wonderwall and heard it back, I thought, that's all right. And Don't Look Back in Anger, I thought, yeah, I'll sound good live, if anything. It was just a moment in time that none of us were aware of, you know. I don't particularly think it's a great sounding record. I think the songs have stood the test of time, though, live, you know what I mean? Like Champagne Supernova and Morning Glory and... I can't remember what else is on it. Some might say and roll with it. They were all great live songs. But it is fascinating that it always gets voted in the top two albums of all time, or the top five or whatever it is. But I don't know. We weren't really in the studio that long to...
Yeah.
I didn't really... I don't know. Honestly, they sound like demos to me.
No, you've one of your many houses round the corner, I believe. All back to years after.
I never sold it, mate.
I can't believe you sold it.
There's a recession on. Why did we get rid of it? I don't know. We'd had enough. Going to find somewhere else, I think.
So where next? Where's the next sprawling castle with a moat?
I don't know. We're happy in London at the minute. I don't think we're going to move anywhere.
Yep.
I don't know. I'd like a house in North Korea.
Should we stop there before
we get in any
more trouble?
Nice, quiet place. You know.
No, thanks very much. Good luck tonight.
No worries, man.
Cheers, man.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So, classic album chat tonight. We thought we would make it an Oasis special because we are here at the Watford Coliseum for Noel live for Radio X. Let's look back at What's the Story, Morning Glory, the 2nd of October 1995, nearly 23 years ago. I remember queuing up to buy it and playing it in my dad's Renault Megane on the way to Centre Parks in 1995. 14 years old, unbelievable stuff. Sold a record-breaking 347,000 copies in its first week. Just think about that number. It's massive. Spent 10 weeks at number 1 in the UK and got to number 4 in the US. It has since sold over 22 million copies worldwide. And here's a little story you might not have heard before. Noel used to have a table in Supernova Heights made from all the platinum discs. And I can tell you, it was a big table. That's how many platinum discs there were. It was co-produced by Noel Gallagher. First Oasis album with Alan White on drums, not Tony McCarroll, as you will remember from the court case. A bigger album than Definitely Maybe. Strings, more instrumentation, huge choruses, more ballads and composed songwriting than you found on that original Definitely Maybe. The tracks were brilliant on it. I don't even need to list them off because you know them so well. It won the 96 Brit for Best British Album, and in 2010 the Brits named it the greatest British album of the last 30 years, and that's amongst some brilliant company. The album was recorded really quickly after Definitely Maybe. Oasis were becoming probably one of the world's biggest bands at the time. Liam and Noel were finding new tensions, scrapping all the time. Noel wanted to sing lead vocals on Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger, and as you would imagine, Liam didn't react too well to that, so there were plenty of fisticuffs around the recording. Nebworth, around that time, think back to that. Apparently 2.5 million people applied for tickets to see those gigs, and let's not forget they played Ballock Park in Scotland around the same time in front of hundreds of thousands as well. But the album, What's the Story, got some pretty lukewarm reviews at the time. It was seen as less original or exciting as Definitely Maybe, but the critics eventually saw sense, and Rolling Stone then described it as a triumph full of bluster and bravado, but also moments of surprising tenderness, which is absolutely spot on. The last song on the album, Cast No Shadow, Noel wrote that on the train down to the studios in Cornwall. And remember Roll With It as well, the lead single, got to number 2 in the charts after that infamous battle with Blur when Country House beat it to number 1. The battle of Britpop even made the 10 o'clock news. And remember that Top of the Pops performance as well, Liam and Noel swapping roles, history in rock and roll. Wonderwall, that infamous track as well, originally called Wishing Stone. It was reported at the time that Noel had written about his then girlfriend Meg Matthews, but I never knew this. Noel's quote at the time was, "How do you tell your missus it's not about her once she'd read that it is?" Classic bit of rock and roll diplomacy there. But anyway, let's get into the music right now. Two songs from that amazing album, What's the Story, Morning Glory. I've got the original title track for you, followed by Don't Look Back in Anger. Enjoy.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
We'll be right back.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I heard you say at least not today.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I've loved every second of this tonight. Classic album chat. What's the story? Morning Glory. Nearly 23 years old. The 2nd of October, 95 it came out. You're Don't Look Back in Anger. Morning Glory. Apparently Noel wrote Morning Glory when he was absolutely bladdered. The line, "Tomorrow never knows what it doesn't know too soon," was a little reference to the Beatles' "Tomorrow Never Knows." Although if you ask Noel about it, he can't remember for the life of him why. And then Don't Look Back in Anger was heavily influenced by John Lennon, of course, and it took on a whole new meaning when it became an anthem in response to the Manchester Arena bombing, and that's what music is all about. Now, the famous album sleeve is a picture of two blokes passing each other in Soho, Berwick Street in London. The two men are a London DJ and the album sleeve designer, and the album's producer, the famous Owen Morris, a lovely man, can be seen in the background on the left of the footpath holding the album's master tape in front of his face. So how about that? Classic album chat tonight. What's the story? Morning Glory.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
John Richardson is here. He's got a new show out tonight at 10 o'clock. It's called Ultimate Warrior. It's on at 10 o'clock, as I said, on Dave. And it's going to pay for John's moat at his massive palace in Leeds.
The Dave moat.
The Dave moat. Have you found yourself having an awkward conversation with a famous person in a bathroom? The reason I ask is I'm writing a terrible book called Slash Gordon about famous encounters at the urinal with famous faces. You must have had a few doing sort of big stand-up gigs with other comedians. Have you got one you can share with us?
Well, do you know the devastating truth is that I use a cubicle whatever I'm doing because I just refuse to...
He's a cubicler.
I refuse to urinate against a wall like a dog. I think it's the 21st century. I need to lock a door. There are the thing that I present is a thing that very few people have seen in this world, and I like to keep it that way. I like it to be a treat for the people that get to see what lives beneath. So I count other men in the pub as you haven't earned the right yet to see that. So I'm afraid I go in a cubicle. This thing I always hear in the toilet that baffles me, I don't want to get to an age where I hear men hit an age where it clearly is so hard to wee. They make like effort noises.
Yeah.
And that really upsets me because I just think a wee is one of the things that just happens, isn't it? And the cliche of older age is that it just happens without you trying. But I hear them, and sometimes I hear them sort of talking to it.
Yeah, encouraging themselves.
Yeah, just having a little chat with him when he pops out. But I guess that's an age we're all going to get to.
I want to talk to you about Leeds United, if you don't mind, John Richardson.
Oh, don't do that.
See, there's a big Scottish connection with that club, and I feel a real affinity to it. I wrote Vinnie Jones' book, and I went up to Elland Road with him, and he did this lap of honour for the Leeds fans, a man who really fitted in at Elland Road.
Yeah, never got booked in our promotion season, Vinnie Jones.
You're the first person I know who can recite that fact because he played in such a good football team.
Yeah.
But it's not been a brilliant season, but you must be happy with sort of mid-table mediocrity given everything that's happened.
I'm in a real dark place with Leeds at the moment because I thought we got a new owner in and I thought he was a good guy and I thought, things were going to change, and then he's just taken the club on a tour of Burma, which is just inexcusable. So, yeah, I'm not going back is what I've said. I'm not going to go back for a while and I'll just get into something else. I don't know what else you get into other than... Football's supposed to be the thing that you enjoy because everything else is broken. So when football breaks, what do you do?
I know.
I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get really competitive about baby ballet is what's going to happen.
Right, right.
I take my daughter once a week and I'm worried that's going to become my football. We're like, get up, Pippa, you're not even trying.
Yeah, like I, Tonya.
You call those naughty toes?
Now, John, speaking of Leeds United, Chris Moyles, who works for Radio X, is a huge Leeds United fan. Have you ever seen him at a game?
I haven't, no, but I don't know if he sits with the famous people. I sit, I live with you, I sit in the family stand because I go on my own. Scared of getting abuse.
Look, I mentioned Moyles for a reason because he's got a great competition related to John Richardson. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I did not know that. Well, you win me.
Okay, well, we could maybe talk about how long would you be willing to be won for?
Oh, I think 3 seconds, something like that.
Well, from Monday, Moyles is back on air, back in the Breakfast Show. He's had a holiday somewhere very expensive that I couldn't afford to go. But to mark the launch of John Richardson's Ultimate Warrior,
yes,
I believe, he will be giving you the chance to win amazing European breaks every day. You aware of this?
I did not know that, well, no, but I fully support European breaks. Get them in now before next year.
Did you know, John, as well, spending money's being thrown in so you can escape your own worries? That's
wow.
what they've done. That's what they've done. It's good.
And
that,
I'm
isn't
paying
it?
For this, am I?
Yeah, but I believe so.
Oh,
yeah, so
right, okay.
Why don't you tune in?
This has been
in?
A lovely interview. Yeah. Yeah, enter next week and I'll send you to Vienna with 300 quid, will I?
Yeah, looks like you are.
Right, harsh.
And if you tune in on Monday from 6:30, you could win, John, if you wanted.
I'm going to have to. I can't afford to send everybody else, so let's hope I win.
John, thanks so much for coming in. It's lovely
pleasure.
To meet you finally.
Yes.
I love your cardigans massively.
Thank you.
You support a proper football club. And every time I see you on the telly, I laugh a lot. Best of luck with Ultimate Warrior. It's
Thank
brilliant.
You very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, here's a story that caught my eye this week. James Bay. He's been having a great year this year, James Bay. New haircut, no hat, new album, brilliant reviews, big festivals ahead. So it's all happening for him. But he's been talking about those festivals and the secret behind his new sound and how festivals played a part in that. Now, he said this, playing the main stage at Glastonbury in 2015 in front of 70,000 people was something I will never forget. If you remember that year, that was the year Dave Grohl headlined Glastonbury, or was supposed to headline Glastonbury. Broke his leg, couldn't do it. Florence and the Machine stepped in. So James Bay adds, he stayed for the rest of the weekend, could appreciate the impact of the big hit songs and how they influenced people. It was like watching Florence and the Machine headline at Glastonbury. Her performance was a huge, huge lesson. So James's second album's on the way, Electric Light, is out this month, and he added this. He said, my new album was also inspired by Florence. It's music for bigger audiences. However intimate my music was before, it now has to be played to bigger crowds. So this new record is still me, but on a bigger scale. So there you go, Florence and the Machine and that Glastonbury night obviously played a huge part. And you can expect to see him pretty soon at a festival. So close your eyes just for a second. Imagine you're at a festival, sun shining, familiar smell of dust, mud, booze, sweat. You know the one. Right, think about this song blasting out. It's a cracker. This is James Bay and Pink Lemonade on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Join myself tonight with all this Arctic Monkeys business that we're getting involved in, because all night I've been asking you to rate your Arctic Monkeys albums from best to least favourite. I'm Gordon Smart and this is The Evening Show, and we're really getting you talking tonight about all of this. Loads of you got involved. Thanks very much for getting in on the action. So let's just go through it all, and kicking off, just an alternative view to get you thinking even more. A different view from a chap called Luke Midgley. Thanks for sending this, Luke. Like your style, he is saying most of the best stuff's actually on the EPs. Leave Before the Lights Come On, Cigarette Smoker, Fiona, Who the F Are the Arctic Monkeys? See what you're doing there, Luke. I like your style. But let's get into it. Here is the top six as decided by the good people of Radio X. And may I point out, this is not entirely scientific, but it's the best we can do at short notice with the information that you've sent into us. Right, so at six, Humbug, Clara says. Massive fan of that. See them in Berlin soon, but that's my favourite. Alejandra in Chile as well said they're all different, but they're all freaking awesome. So that's number six, Humbug. Number five, Suck It and See. Quite interesting that came in at number five. Then number four, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. So that might surprise a few people given the controversy around their sixth album. A chap called The Ultra Cheese on Twitter, see what he's doing there, he voted for that. Jill voted for it as well, and she's changed her opinion in the last week. She used to think AM was her favourite, but is now Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Right, let's get into the business end here. At number three, here's a little reminder. That is Favourite Worst Nightmare in at number three. Now, here we go. Number two and number one. At number two, here it is. Are you mine?
Just smile, pretending to remember. That was, of course, AM, their fifth album. That leaves only one at number one, as decided by the good people of Radio X. Well, here it is.
Not involved at all.
It's a perfect end, really, wasn't it? To the top six, the countdown as voted for by you. Whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not, topping the poll. Tell you what, though, I've got a sneaking suspicion, a little feeling, the new album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, will become a cult favourite. Just needs a bit of time to get to know it, and I reckon it'll definitely sneak into that top three in the next year or so.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast, tapping Gordon Smart with producer Vin. We will be back with another edition next week. If you're feeling generous, leave a little review and tell all of your friends. See you later.
Radio X.